Our scripture for our message comes from Romans 13, verses 8 through 14. That's Romans 13, 8 through 14. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God indeed. I read from the NIV version our scriptures today, our passages today, because it's a good translation as well, and I like to switch it up every now and then. I mainly read out of the NRSV, and I think that's just really out of habit. I've been probably reading that Bible as the translation of choice for quite a few years, and so it's more out of habit. But I thought today when I was reading it, from the NIV, I thought it was a little more really just updated verbiage, because licentiousness and some of the other things that are in the NRSV, I was like, I don't really know what some of those words. I had to go look them up. Yeah, so I wanted to read out of the NIV because I just thought it would hit home a little closer to home anyway for us to hear kind of a more modern, I guess, translation of what those commandments or what Paul's talking about in that appeal at the end. So our message today, though, I want to take you back, because this is about love, right? And I want to think about, when I think about love, I always think about the fact that, which may sound funny, but I'm a dog person, okay? And I've always been a dog person. In fact, I can remember my first dog. I named him Mochi. And my mom, Baba, she's sitting down here. She might remember Mochi. She probably had dogs before that one, but that's the first one I remember as a child. And Mochi was this like pretty large dog, shepherd collie mix. And I named him Mochi because I really enjoyed those pounded rice cakes that are called Mochi. And that was like my favorite treat or snack, I think, that I would eat. And I guess now I have a lot of messages that talk about food. But anyway, Mochi was a great dog, and he was big and fun to play with. And the funny thing was, I remember I would play with him in our backyard, and at that time that backyard was way too small for a dog that big. And as a kid, you don't think about those things, but when I look back on it, in fact, that whole house was probably way too small for our family and a dog that big. It was just not a very big house. And but Mochi was you know, always great about it. He would protect me from my older brothers and sister that would pick on me all the time, so he would defend me against them. He would defend our whole yard against any cat or any other person's animal that they thought could come into our backyard. He would just go off the fence line trying to get them. He was just great about that, and just, you know, the way he cared for me as this little small kid, I didn't really equate it to love until later, but that's what that was, right? He was showing me, even at an early age, what kind of love, you know, dogs really have the capacity to share with their human companions. And then it was probably my first heartache, too, because I remember when we moved from that place We couldn't take Mochi with us. He was just still too big a dog, even for the house we moved to, and the yard was much bigger, but, I mean, he was a pretty big dog. And I remember we had to let him go. We had to give him away, and I'm not sure the story there. They've never told me, and I probably don't really want to know what happened to him, but anyway, he was gone out of my life. And then it took a year or so, I think, and then we got a new dog as a family, and he was much smaller, and his name was Tippy. And we named Tippy, or I think I named him, or whoever, because he had a white tip on his tail, and that's why we called him Tippy. So just wagging his tail and his little white, I don't know, he was a mutt as far as I can remember. Kind of looked like a poodle, but not, because he was much fatter than a poodle. But a cute little dog, and so friendly and loving, and he would... And I would love to say he was my dog then, too, but he really was more of the family's dog. Like, he just loved being around anybody in the family and just would cuddle up with you and play, you know, with his toys and just always be excited for anybody to come home or whatever. And what a great dog. And how he shared his love for our family was he would definitely, like I said, if you were, you know, on the couch and not feeling well or something, or I remember... This was a time where I was getting to be a picky eater, believe it or not. I would not eat all my food, and so the dog would sit there and wait with me by the table, and I would feed him those scraps. He would eat everything I wouldn't eat. I don't know if Mom ever knew that, but I did feed the dog off from the table so I didn't have to eat some of those foods that I didn't like. What a great dog. What a great companion he was. And then, unfortunately, you know, life happens, and Tippy was no longer with us, and... but he was, again, really great at showing us that, or being that example that I could see about that love that Paul's talking about, this kind of love for others. And then he moves on, and we get another dog. And the next dog I remember, her name was Fifi. And Fifi was a toy poodle. And as much as I would... stand up here and tell you she was my dog, she definitely was not my dog. She cared about two people the most in my family. That was my Baba and my sister. If none of them were home, if either of them, I should say, were home, then I might have a chance to get some attention from the dog or get to play with the dog. But she was definitely my mother's and my sister's dog when you think about it. And but, you know, at the time I thought, oh, man, how... She's not like other dogs. She's not doing a good job loving. But the reality is she did. She just prioritized it for Mom and then my sister and then everybody else. So the two women in our family got most of the love from that dog, and then everybody else got the scraps of it. But when she was with you, even her, in her way, she was very good about if you weren't feeling well or something like that, she would come cuddle by you. Dogs just have this inert or instinct about them that just... you know, allows them to really emote with us, right? And so, you know, Fifi, unfortunately, she had to move on as well. And then it was a while before we got another dog that I remember in our family. In fact, I had moved on now to college and out of the house and other things, so I don't know how many dogs my parents might have had while I wasn't there. I just remember one big Akita. I can't even remember that dog's name. I never really knew that dog too well. But when I was home, that was a very loving dog too, believe it or not. And then the next dog that I can really talk about, and it was when I became an adult and a parent. We had a chance to adopt a dog named Leo. He was a Labrador Retriever, and his name Leo was from the Red Power Ranger. If you wonder why we would name a dog Leo, but he was a Red Power Ranger's name was Leo in the show that my son loved to watch at that time. And so we named it, you know, my son named him Leo. Although I'd like to think Leo was my dog as well, he was really my son's dog. Like, he would follow Connor around everywhere. But he was also very good at understanding how we would feel too, the family. And he would come to us when we were in our time of need or our doubts. And emotionally or physically, he was very good also about picking up on that. But when Connor was back, well, he would just run around with Connor. Just everywhere Connor went, there that dog was, in the bed, in the couch, outside, whatever. And unfortunately, we lost Leo a few years back. And boy, he was that dog that really taught me at that time that I needed to understand it, how much dogs have that capacity for unconditional love. You don't think that an animal can do that, but the reality is they can. They can teach us so much about how to love, and unconditionally, even up to the end. You know, I think if I could read his mind, I can tell he was more, I think, concerned about how we were feeling than what he was going through at that very end of his life. Really an amazing dog. And I've been heartbroken ever since, really, but this wonderful thing happened. We were able to get another dog, adopt another dog. His name's Gatsby, as in the Great Gatsby. And Gatsby, for all intents and purposes, Gatsby is just like Leo in the fact that he very much loves us unconditionally. He's this wonderful example for our family. And this one I could honestly say, and I safely say it, that, you know, he is my dog. Wherever I go, he is with me. I can take him with me wherever, and off the leash, on the leash, it doesn't matter. He will be with me every step of the way. And it's just a wonderful feeling when you have this connection. And but he is also good with all the family members too. You know, he moped around just as much as we did the last couple of weeks when Connor moved out. He's now seeing that we're feeling a little better, so he's feeling a little better. I think he has this love. He loves my parents, Kim's parents, friends of our family. He just loves on everybody that comes to our house. And he's really got it down to where he can express that love with a wagging of the tail, by just coming and sitting next to you, putting his head on your lap. So many ways that he can express that love, that it just makes you feel so good. And the one thing I think that Gatsby does not share love for or want to express love towards is the neighbor's cat. And that's understandable, because the cat constantly taunts Gatsby, you know. The cat is there bugging Gatsby by walking by the front of the window. How dare he, right? And then even sometimes the cat will get brave enough to get in our backyard. I can't believe that either. Gatsby goes crazy when he does that sort of stuff. I think if Gatsby ever got to meet the cat, they would like each other. But as it is through the windows, he doesn't appreciate the cat. But other than that, everything else he does is with just this wonderful sense of love. In fact, one of the things I look forward to even today as I'm going home is I will see Gatsby, and he will meet me right there at the door when we walk in, be sitting there, and then stand up and wag his tail and not jump on us and do anything crazy. He'll wait till we put all our bags down, and then he will, you know, get rubbed and scrubbed and scratched and everything else and petted, and then he'll want to go outside. And in fact, we got him from the pound. He is already potty trained. That was an amazing thing to us. When we rescued him from the SPCA, he was already potty trained, or he had the idea of it. But this thing I was talking about, how I, like I say, I may consider him to be my dog, and I say that with this wonderful feeling, but I think what's most important is probably the fact that Gatsby considers us to be his family. And when I think about it, I think I prefer it that way. That he chose us as much as we chose him. He wanted to be with us, or wants to be with us, as much as we want to be with him. And it's that kind of love that he expresses and shares with us and models for us of of loving neighbor, putting others' concerns first, that is amazing to me. In verse 8, Paul writes about that we are to owe no one anything except to love one another as a means of fulfillment of the law. And if I think about that, and I think about it in the life of the dogs that I've had the blessings to have in my life, every one of them has showed me some example of that. Loving others first. Leslie puts it this way in the life application topic that's found in the notes of my study Bible. He puts it, according to John Wesley's notes on the New Testament, loving one another is a never-ending Christian obligation. It is also the essence of Christian ethics and behavior. When we avoid violating a particular law, the letter of the law is observed, but when we love one another, the underlying spirit of the law is fulfilled. It's a twofold kind of action, right? First is to not break that law or do the wrong thing, but by loving others, then we also fulfill the underlying spirit of the law. In John 14, 15, and 21, Jesus links loving him to obeying what he commands, so that love is the only law in our relationships with oneself, with ourselves, in other words, with neighbors, with enemies, with creation, and with God. In practice, it means promoting the highest good of others and not causing harm. And that's the life application study topic in my study Bible. And if we go back and look at the verses from John 14, 15, verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then verse 21 reads, they who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. It is these verses that Jesus is expressing to his disciples that the promise of the coming advocate, right, the Holy Spirit, that he is going to ask his Father to send to the apostles or the disciples when Jesus leaves. And so we have this Holy Spirit, this new advocate. Well, I shouldn't say new, but another advocate, the Holy Spirit. And it's not just with the disciples, but we too have that Holy Spirit living within us. And it is in these closing verses where Paul continues the theme of Christ is coming soon, right? His return is to coming soon. So when we get back into our verse today, our scripture from today, Paul starts talking or redirects us back to this theme that Christ will be coming or is to return. And Paul tells them and us at the time that the time has come to put our childish behavior right. Right? If we're truly understanding what time it is, it's time for us to wake up from our slumber. It is time for us to start behaving as we are called to behave. It is time to line up who we are fundamentally with who we are spiritually. And if that's the case, if we're doing those things, then our lives will then have this new look, right? We will have this new transformation. In fact, how we get there is not just by loving one another, but by those examples that we get from our pets. Some people might be cat people. I don't want to offend anybody that's a cat person. But our pets have this capacity to show that unconditional love to us, and we learn from that. We take that and we couple it with how we behave in the real world and how God calls us to behave. And we get where we can be this new creation that God calls us to be. To get there, though, like to become that, we have to make sure we do two things, right? We need to make sure we're loving God and loving others. Those are the two things that all the other laws and prophets hang on. And it is because at this moment we know what time it is, that we know what time it is. It is that time for us to live as children of the light, right? It is that time for us to become the examples Christ has called us to be. And it's the best part about that, it's how we can influence the world around us rather than being influenced by the world. The challenge, I think, for us the challenge for us is not, it's to not just, excuse me, just, it's not just to live it out, right? Today and every day, waiting for Christ to return. But the challenge for us really is understanding, or actually living life with this perspective, that Christ has already returned. If we could live like that, then wouldn't we want to be living the way God calls us to be? If we have that thought that Christ has already returned, then the life that we lead will be much more consistent with what God calls us to be. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.